The Savior's own words were these: "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
Somebody once said that Earth is like a huge spacecraft, but the trouble with spacecraft Earth is it didn't come with an instruction manual. That's not right. Certainly the Earth is somewhat like a spacecraft, but it did come with an instruction manual, and we're thrilled that we have in our hands God's Word, the Bible, the Maker's instruction book. And in that book we read some of the words that his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, said. "Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it abundantly." Jesus Christ promised life. He said that he had come for the express purpose that we might have life, and that we might have and enjoy life in all its fullness. Do you really have that sort of life? Are you really enjoying life in all its fullness? I have to admit that many Christians don't show very much evidence of being alive, and even less evidence of enjoying it. And quite often when they start to talk to their neighbours, and they say that they're a Christian and they're full of joy, the response of their neighbour is, "You can keep it, mate. I've got enough problems already." Are you enjoying life in all its fullness? Life, you see, is meant to be purposeful. I remember reading in Reader's Digest of a senior citizen who had survived World War II and three car accidents and two bad marriages, two depressions, 13 strikes, three mortgages and a bankruptcy. And then a cheeky teenager said to him, "You don't know what life is all about." What is life all about? Life is for living. Is your life totally meaningless? Is your life totally aimless? Is your life chaotic? Does life really have any meaning? Does it really have any purpose for you? What are you here for? In the Old Testament, there is a story of a man who was the servant of God. And God had used him in quite a remarkable way. But then he found the pressure too hard. And he opted out of the situation. And he hid himself in a little cave, enjoying his own little mental breakdown, until God had to come to him and say, "What are you doing here? Go back. Get involved. Get where the action is. Find out the purpose of life. And get involved with people again." What are we here for? Well, some people have said that the work of a Christian is to tell others about Jesus Christ. And that, of course, is perfectly true. Life reproduces itself. And Christian life is meant to reproduce itself. And we are meant to share our faith with those who don't know anything about God. But there's more in life than that. The Bible tells us that we're here to do good. It tells us that God has saved men and women so that they will be zealous in doing good. But there's more to life than that. Paul says God's real purpose is to make men and women like his Son, Jesus Christ. That he wants to change us so completely that we'll become like him. It's as though God said, I have a son and I'm very fond of him. And I've shared heaven with him. But I want to people my heaven with men and women who are like my son. And so he sent his son down to this earth. And he became a man like other men. And he died on a cross. He died on the cross so that he could take away our sin. In the same chapter from which we read earlier, Jesus Christ said, I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. He said, I give my life for the sheep. He died so that we might live, so that we might have life that is really meaningful. He rose again, and he lives in the power of an indestructible life so that we might share that quality of life. We are here so that we might be to God's glory. The old saying is still true, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But life really consists in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. He told his disciples that if they love their own life, if they love their soul life and held on to it and try to live for themselves, they would lose life. But if they renounce self, if they renounce their own life and their own soul life, they would enjoy life in all its fullness. It's one of the paradoxes of the Christian life that when I give up and hand over my life to him and he takes over control, life then becomes meaningful. Jesus said, I am the life. And Paul said, Christ is our life. And a Christian is someone who discovers that life is Jesus Christ, and who discovers that when I allow Jesus Christ to take over full control of my life, then life becomes really meaningful. And he's able to say, as Paul said, it is not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Christ, only Christ, ere long will fill my vision, glory excelling, soon full, soon I'll see. Christ, only Christ, my every wish fulfilling. Christ, only Christ, my all in all to be. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in thee. Oh, that it may be no more I, but Christ that lives in me.